Revelation chapter 22, and today we are going to conclude our series on the book of Revelation by looking at the last part of chapter 22, which begins in verse 6. So Revelation 22 and beginning in verse 6. Before we hear God's word, let's pray together once again. We bless you, O Lord, our God, and give thanks to you for all of the benefits that you have given to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you have forgiven us of our sins, that you heal our diseases, that you crown us with life everlasting, that you give us to drink from the river of life which flows from your throne. Father, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures which reveal to us Christ, your eternal, only begotten Son, our Savior, who died for our sins, who was buried, and who on the third day was raised from the dead, and who was exalted to your right hand in heaven, and is enthroned there now and reigns as the King of kings and Lord of lords. We pray, Father, as we hear the Scriptures read and proclaimed this morning, that we would see the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, and that we would worship him as he deserves to be worshiped. For we pray this in his holy name. Amen. Revelation 22 and beginning in verse 6. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us hear the word of God. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.' The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." This is the word of God. The book of Revelation is about a hidden reality. It's about a reality that is presently veiled, as if covered by a curtain, and therefore hidden from sight. At the present, the reality is unseen, but it is a reality nonetheless. The book of Revelation unveils that reality so that we can see it. That's what the word revelation means. It means unveiling. Now, there is a story in the Old Testament that offers a great illustration of this idea of a present hidden reality being unveiled. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6. One time, the king of Syria sent horses and chariots and a great army to seize the prophet Elisha. And the army came by night and surrounded the city where Elisha was staying. And early the next morning, Elisha's servant went out, and he saw an army with horses and chariots all around the city. And he said to Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And Elisha said to his servants, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open the eyes, his eyes, that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, there was a hidden reality which the servant of Elisha could not see until the Lord opened his eyes. The reality was that God had sent an army of angels to protect the prophet, but that reality was veiled, as if covered by a curtain, and therefore it was hidden from sight. But when Elisha prayed for his servant, the Lord pulled back the curtain. He unveiled the hidden reality, and the servant saw the chariots of fire all around the prophet. Now, what God did for Elisha's servant, he also did for the apostle John when John was on the island of Patmos. God unveiled a hidden reality, and that unveiling or revelation is what is recorded in the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation. The Apocalypse is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Those are the opening words of the book, right? Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. So what's this book about? It's about a revelation, an unveiling of Jesus Christ. It reveals, it unveils a present hidden reality about Christ. And what is that reality? The reality is that Christ is the King of glory, enthroned and reigning at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And that is a reality that is presently veiled and therefore unseen. And it's veiled in the most remarkable way. It is not simply veiled in the sense that Christ is in heaven and we are on earth, and since we cannot visibly see him sitting at the right hand of God, his enthronement and reign are hidden from us. That's true, but that's not the only sense or the most notable sense in which his reign is veiled. It is veiled in a much more profound way. It is veiled behind his suffering. It is veiled behind his death. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. It is interesting that the one who received this revelation, this unveiling of Christ, this unveiling of the hidden reality about Christ, is the Apostle John. John is the only one of the 12 apostles who was present at the crucifixion of Jesus. You may remember that from the cross, Jesus spoke to John and told him to behold his mother, referring to the Virgin Mary. John was there, standing at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified. And what did John see on that day? When John looked at Jesus on the cross, what did he see? Well, he saw a helpless man suffering and dying a terrible death at the hands of cruel and wicked men. That's what John saw when he stood at the foot of the cross. Now, when John was on the island of Patmos, God took him back to that day. God took him back to that event. God took him back to the cross. And once again, John found himself looking at Christ hanging on the cross, suffering and dying, but this time God pulled back the curtain. What John didn't know the first time he stood at the cross was that there was a hidden reality, a veiled reality, a reality that was hidden because it was veiled by the suffering and death of Jesus. But this time, when John stood at the foot of the cross, God opened his eyes just like he opened the eyes of Elisha's servant. And John saw the unseen reality of what really happened on that day. When God removed the veil, John did not see a lifeless corpse hanging on a tree. He saw the King of Glory enthroned at the right hand of God. The hidden reality is that the cross of Jesus is his throne. And the event of him being lifted up on the cross was his enthronement. Behind the veil of the crown of thorns is the crown of glory. And the one who wears it is the King of Glory. The unveiling of Christ enabled John to see the reality that was hidden from him and from everyone else. And it was hidden because it was veiled by the suffering and dying of Christ. In the same way that his humanity veiled his divinity, his suffering veiled his victory. The unveiling reveals that this slain lamb is the lion of the tribe of Judah who has conquered. At the moment of his death, Christ trampled down death by death. He destroyed the one who had the power of death. The hidden reality behind the corpse wearing the crown of thorns is that this is the King of Glory prevailing over the gates of hell. The unveiling, the revelation that God gave John enabled him to see what really happened on the cross. And what was it that really happened? Well, Psalm 24 was fulfilled. The King of Glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, arrived at the gates. He arrived at the gates of Hades. And having trampled down death by death, he was there to give life to those who were in the tombs. Now that's the reality of what happened on Good Friday. Christ established his kingdom and began to reign as the king of that kingdom, the King of Glory. But that reality was hidden. It was hidden because it was veiled behind his suffering and his death. And to this day, the reign of Christ is a hidden reality. It is hidden because it is veiled from sight. And it's veiled not simply because Christ is in heaven and we are on earth and we don't see him. It's veiled by suffering and death, just as it was at the foot of the cross. The present reign of Christ is veiled by the suffering and death of the saints. The book of Revelation pulls back the curtain so that when we see the saints suffering and dying for the testimony of Jesus, we see the hidden reality, the reality that is hidden by their suffering and death. And what is that reality? Well, it's that Christ is reigning as the King of Glory at the right hand of God, and that those who die with him are also reigning with him. The reality is that the martyrs are the victors. The martyrs are the victors. The reality is that they conquer Satan by their death in union with Christ. Now, this is stated very clearly in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. The martyrs, that verse says, have conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. They have conquered. In other words, by dying with Christ, they conquer. By dying with Christ, they reign with him. By dying with Christ, they are enthroned with him. Remember, his throne is his cross. And if we wish to reign with Christ, then we must join him on his throne. And wasn't that the message of Jesus himself? If we wish to be his disciples, we must take up our cross and follow him. Jesus said in Matthew 16, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Now that's the message of the book of Revelation in a nutshell. The revelation or unveiling of the hidden reality about Christ that John received on the island of Patmos can be summed up in four words. His throne is his cross. Christ reigns from the cross. And to reign with him, we must join him on the cross. That's how we conquer. That's how he conquered, and that's how we conquered. Remember back in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, Jesus said over and over again that the promise of salvation is for those who conquer. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. To the one who conquers, he will not be hurt by the second death. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. That throne is his cross, and that's how he conquered, and that's how we conquer. There is no other way to overcome death and Hades. There is no other way to overcome the devil. Now that's the message of the book of Revelation. Now I said earlier that when God gave John this vision, this revelation, God took him back to the foot of the cross so that John could see the hidden reality behind the crucifixion. And by giving us the book of Revelation, God does the same thing to us. He takes us to the foot of the cross. And that's where he leaves us. That's where he wants us to stay, so that we may behold the triumphant King of glory enthroned on the cross and invite us to join him there. And that's where we are today, and that's where the church will remain until the end of the world when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. And when he returns, he will permanently, completely remove the veil once and for all, and all will see the hidden reality that was veiled behind his suffering and dying on the cross and our suffering and dying in union with him. The return of our Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation. Remember, the word revelation means unveiling. The return of Christ is the ultimate unveiling. The veil will be permanently, completely removed when Christ returns, and the whole world will see the hidden reality. Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen." Have you ever wondered why it refers here to those who pierced him, those who pierced Christ? It connects the return of Christ at the end of the world to the event of his crucifixion when he was pierced. Those two things are connected because his return will bring the whole world back to the foot of the cross, and everyone will stand at the foot of the cross and see the hidden reality because the veil will be forever removed. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and they will see that his throne is his cross. His cross is his throne. They will see the crown of glory behind the crown of thorns. They will see the King of glory who trampled down death by death. And in the words of St. Paul, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now that's what will happen when our Lord Jesus Christ returns at the end of the age. The hidden reality of the reign of Christ, his present reign, it's a reality. It's hidden, but it is a reality nonetheless. The hidden reality of his reign and of those who take up their cross and follow him, they too are reigning with him. That hidden reality of his reign and of those who reign with him will be unveiled. Now, when will this happen? When will our Lord return? Well, Jesus said that no one knows the day or the hour. And he also said, "Behold, I am coming like a thief, unexpectedly. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on. We must, therefore, be ready for his return. Be ready always, at all times." But Jesus also stressed the imminence of his return, that is, the nearness of his return. And he repeatedly does so here in the very last part of the book of Revelation, verse 7, "Behold, I am coming soon." And again, verse 20, "Surely I am coming soon. The time is at hand. The time is near." Now, this emphasis on the nearness of his coming calls us to watchfulness. And since we don't know when Christ will return, but that he could do so at any moment, we must be watchful and prepared always, be ready always. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, "But concerning the day or the hour, but concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." Now that means be watchful, be ready. And the last part of the book of Revelation tells us what we must do to be ready for the return of Christ. We must come to Christ in repentance to receive the life-giving water that flows from his pierced side. Verse 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires take the water of life without price." Now, this is a call to repentance. It is a call to repentance to everyone who hears the message of this book. We watch and we prepare for the coming of Christ by standing before his cross in repentance. The book of Revelation takes us back to the cross, and it leaves us there because that's where we must go to drink of the water of life, which flows from the throne of Christ, which is his cross. Now, the book of Revelation ends with a cry for Christ to return. In verse 20, "Come, Lord Jesus." "Come, Lord Jesus" was such a common prayer in the ancient church that even non-Aramaic-speaking Christians knew the original Aramaic form of the prayer, Maranatha. It's Aramaic for "Come, Lord Jesus." That was the prayer of the ancient church, and the church has been praying for the return of Christ since the very beginning. Every single Sunday, we pray for Christ to return when we pray the Lord's Prayer, and we say in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come." What we are praying for is that the kingdom which Christ established by his death would be unveiled, fully unveiled by his return. And that's what the consummation of the kingdom is. It is the ultimate, it is the final revelation. It's the ultimate unveiling of the kingdom of Christ, the reign of the King of Glory. And the whole book of Revelation is meant to stir our longing and prayers for the full realization, the full revelation, the manifestation of that kingdom. And so it fittingly ends on this note, "Come, Lord Jesus." The final prayer of the book, "Come, Lord Jesus," reminds us that Revelation was not meant to be a puzzle book that leaves us befuddled and mystified. It was not intended to be a riddle that needs to be solved. The book of Revelation is designed to remind us that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon, bringing his recompense with him to repay each one for what he has done, verse 12. And it is designed to call us to watchfulness, faithfulness, perseverance, repentance, to overcome immorality, to patiently endure persecution, and not to lose heart when we suffer afflictions because Christ is coming soon. And that is how, in fact, we reign with him. We suffer and die with him. That's how we reign with him, because he reigns from the cross. His throne is his cross, and we must join him there. Revelation reminds us of our blessed hope, and it teaches us not to set our hopes on the world below, but on the eternal, the heavenly city to which we belong and which Christ has prepared for us. To him be all praise and glory, now and forevermore. Amen.